Isn't that true, Eric? I know, because I'm coming out of my node into the reflector. I have a question for you, Eric, if you happen to know the answer. Okay. Well, where is a Channel 14 digital television transmitter located in a direction, say, 020 from Long Island? Looking at the FCC map, and I cannot find anything along that axis. Can't find it all on here. I went to the FCC, the other one you gave me that you put the call letters in or the channel, and that shows us something up in Vermont, but it doesn't come up on the other website, the ORG website for, I guess, DT reception maps, so I'm a little stumped here. Haven't got the call letters or thing, can't read the information in the header, so I just know there's something in that direction, but I don't know what I'm looking at or where it is. Negative. I've not been able to decode video. I can't even read the header on it. All I can tell on the Insignia decoder box that I have, which they don't make anymore, is that there's something there occasionally. It goes up and down as far as signal level. I put my R7000 on the same frequency, hooked to the cable line, and I can tell there's something there by tuning to 470.3094. There is a carrier coming from that direction, but I cannot. It's not strong enough for me to read the header information, so I don't know what it is. No, I don't have an operating spectrum analyzer at the moment. That's sensitive to be able to do that. No. I understand what you're saying, but if I take my R7000, which is right now on a cable splitter, go into the decoder box on top of my TV set, split 2-to-1. If I tune that to 470.3094, I can hear a carrier. If I point the antenna at 020 degrees, the carrier is the strongest. It's about an S5. I've seen it as high as an S9. It's not strong enough for me to get a picture off the thing or read the header information. So how would you explain that? And they just have to be using 470.3094 as a carrier, correct?
Whatever, let's see, I don't even know if that fits in. Give me a second, go to the right place here. What was our frequency again, 470 what?
Same frequency that would be on all the other digital television channels. I'm listening to 470.3094. That would be where RF channel 14 is, between 470 to 476, so... There is some sort of digital carrier there, and this carrier, it never interrupts. It's on all the time.
All right, again, just because it's on all the time doesn't necessarily mean it's a TV signal, but give me a minute. I'm finding my way here.
I went to the FCC website of the other HTML, whatever the shortcut you sent me there or told me about a couple weeks ago. And you can put the RF channel or call letters and so forth in there on the FCC page. And that gives me a breakdown. There's something licensed up in Vermont, which is far enough away from Boston, because Boston apparently has assignments in 470 and above for public safety or some other, you know, type of communications there. So it's not coming from the Boston area, so it's definitely, you know, coming much, much higher than Massachusetts.
Am I thinking?
And Dick, you got to get a rotator on your antenna. There's lots of DTV signals out there you can get. I've got as many as 3 stations on 1 RF channel already.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. I'm slowly moving in that direction.
I picked up stuff from Boston. Right, and I picked up stuff also from as high up as Albany.
Yeah, there's a 14 in Messina, and there's another one in Bath. I didn't realize it, but there's one in Syracuse, there's one in Buffalo, there's one in North Pole, Cobleskill, Burlington, that's on the other side of the state, Buxton, wait a minute, that's North Carolina, sorry. Yeah. So, you got your choice. Messina, or Syracuse, or Bath even.
In Vermont, is that what Bath is? What state's that in?
I have to look at a map. I think it's somewhere somewhere in the mid state, but tell you in a second.
Okay, well that would be a bearing of about 340 to 330 degrees from me, and I'm definitely getting it to like 020 is the strongest carrier. If I swing the antenna around the other way, it disappears. Don't go crazy about it. It's just a curiosity type of question, because I've never picked up any kind of indication of anything on Channel 14 before.
Yeah, okay. I'm just getting a look on a Google map where that is. That is near... it's near Corning. So it's a bit west, but it's the lower part of the state.
I'm looking at the Google map now, like New York, that's probably west of Binghamton. That's completely the wrong direction. What I'm looking at is something that would be either in Vermont, eastern Vermont, or western Massachusetts, somewhere along that line, or very extreme northern Massachusetts. And I can't find anything on the other map that I'm looking for that gives you the DTV reception map, which gives you a string of stations if you move the point around the map. I've been checking it for quite a while. I can't find anything that lists a channel 14 as far as our actual RF channel, so that's why it's kind of stumping me.
Okay, there is an incomplete listing here, but there's a 14 in Worcester. There is a 14, but it's not operating in Boston. Let me look at Vermont. Hang on. The B's, VT. No, not Canada. I don't need to know Canada, thank you. I went too far. Here we go. There is one channel 14. Oh, this is what you're getting. No, I'm thinking about Ireland. There's one in Newport, Vermont, wherever that is. And let's think about Rhode Island, since you're in that neighborhood anyway. Is there anything in Rhode Island? No, there's nothing in Rhode Island. There's a 14... of all places, in Puerto Rico, and it's in the city of Arecibo.
That would probably warrant a QSL card if I could get one from them, because that would be a good find.
Yeah, well, you got a plan app in your system?
Do I have what?
Do you have a plan app connected to your antenna?
Oh, yeah, I have one on mass mounted.
You got a way to shut it off?
Yeah, I can shut it off, and then I get absolutely nothing coming out of the antenna.
Well, that really sucks, because preamps have a tendency to make things not pick-upable, especially when it comes to digital stuff, depending upon what's next door, what's above it and below it. If I were you and you get the opportunity, I'd put a little bypass relay or a bypass switch up there so you can take it out, because it worked good on some things and worked bad on others.
Well, that would be very difficult to do. This thing is not designed for that kind of thing very easily. Why, you think I'm seeing something that's actually not there?
No, I'm not saying that, but that's possible. It could be making images, but I found, for the most part, in places where I've had difficulty picking up stuff, where people have the preamps put in, we get rid of the preamp and it works great.
Well, I don't live near any high power transmitters, especially cellular, and I have a filter ahead of the preamp, between the antenna and the preamp, that starts rolling off stuff at above 740, 750 megahertz, so anything higher than that, like an 806, it's down 50 dB, so all the cellular stuff or people even on the input of cell sites with Nextel phones, things like that, are down to 50 to 60 dB, because I realize that would be a possibility of getting overload and cutting the preamp out from time to time. But and I can't see anything up in that part of the band around me. I have looked at it with an analyzer already on the antenna, rotating in different directions when I have my analyzer working. And I don't see, there's nothing coming in as far as any kind of, you know, strong outer band interference that I see. The only stuff that gets into this stuff is just stuff in the 450, 460 band, but I'm not sure if that's an issue or not. But I thought if I heard this carrier with another receiver, that I'd hear it. I've also heard this carrier very weak on the R7000 with the monitor antenna, but it's extremely weak compared to hooking up with the TV antenna. It's quite a difference in obviously the gain being something being horizontally polarized. So, which is all just a curiosity question. So if you said there's something in Vermont, I just have to keep on pointing the antenna that way and see if someday if I can read the header information, we'll pick it up. That's all.
Eric, what website are you using to search down these stations?
It's the FCC database. You're missing my point. You got to stop thinking about digital television. It's an RF carrier. Okay. Dick, you're still there, right? Tell me about amplifiers' linearities. I'm not talking about having a strong signal on one side or another. Here we're talking about symbols. And what's your feeling about amplifiers and impulses, so to speak?
Yeah, line-driving preamplifiers on television aerials can be troublesome. If there are strong local signals, they can give you all kinds of mixes. But he's pretty sure of the frequency he's receiving, 470.3094. For that to be a intimod as opposed to real, I don't know. I think he might have a real signal there, Eric. Go ahead.
Yeah, he might have a real signal there, but that's not my point. I'm actually missing my point. Is that I found that, you know, preamps are generally like 1-2 transistors, okay? You think that they're perfectly flat, and for the most part, they're kind of flat, but they have different propagation delays at different frequencies, and when you're dealing with symbols that are 92 nanoseconds apart, it creates a little bit of discontinuity in the time domain, which then makes the equalizer's job all that much harder. And I've proven it many, many times with many different people that you look at the error rates with the preamp and without the preamp, that's the difference between being able to pick something up and not being able to pick something up.
Okay, I think you're talking about group delay distortion within the preamp. Is that true, Eric?
Yes, I am, amongst a few other things. And the other things is noise.
Okay, so if this is the best of all worlds, you would have a lossless transfer relay around your preamp, which would allow you to turn off the preamp, bypass it, look at the reception, and then put the preamp back in and make it active. That would be the best of all possible systems when there's a doubt as to what you're receiving and whether or not your DTV converter is working extra hard because of what the preamp is doing. Back to you, Eric.
Yeah, well, the best of all worlds is to have a bypass because a lot of times you'll be picking up a signal that's weak and just in propagation and variation, there's a little, and also from the original transmitting source, there's a little bit of jitter. And when you go through the preamp, there's just enough distortion there to make it actually not work. And even though the signal's weak, as long as the symbols are stable and in the correct relationship to one another, even though it's really damn weak, you'll still get a solid lock out of it.
I think in most cases, the bar graph you get off the digital converter really is the inverse of bit error rate. That's the impression I'm getting. Because there are times when I can tell I'm getting a strong signal, but the bar graph will show some very low number and I get no picture, or no sound, or both. Or it gets highly interrupted. In my case, I know I'm getting Hartford, Connecticut, as well as CBS here on Long Island simultaneously. I need a higher gain antenna. I think I'm going to put my 5-foot dish with UHF bow tie in the middle of it back up on the tower. That was a fun antenna. I think I'm going to get more gain on UHF frequencies out of that 5-foot dish than any of these fishbone antennas that are purchasable. Because I think the fishbone antennas don't do an excellent job of covering that huge frequency range from, let's say, 500 to 700 megacycles. Back to you, Eric. KQLIW.
Well, that sounds like a fun thing to do. You know, there's plenty of room for experimentation here.
But you will find, if you ever actually do put a rotor up, that the PCVDX thing is
can be quite a lot of fun. But you also have to have the patience and the time to deal with it, because it doesn't just make itself a patch. You have to go find it.
And depending the way your digital converter works, you may have to plug in the individual channel numbers in order to do a sequential scan. I guess some of them will do a sequential scan by just pressing the up button and it will find channels. I worry about using that find function though. I don't want to wipe out the channels that have already got programmed in there that are only on the air some of the time from my point of view. KQLIW.
Oh, there's a simple solution to that. Buy another converter box and a little AB switch. And then you don't have the problem. Anyway, it's been fun.
It has. See you guys down the log. And another thing that triggered this thing about Babel tonight is the fact that there's this article about what's going on in France that was in the latest issue of Antennas and Propagation magazine that came out a couple of days ago, that the courts in Versailles have ordered the removal of cell phone base stations because of the grief it's causing to the residents even before the antennas have been installed.
And they didn't have a smart enough lawyer to take that to court and reverse that decision? That seems kind of silly. The court would rule on something like that. How could they possibly agree that the thing is causing a problem when there's nothing on the site that's emitting radiation, RF radiation? It doesn't seem like it's, it makes a lot of sense.
Hey, the power of the mind, you know?
If I'm convinced that that nosebleed and that metallic taste in my mouth is coming from that base station antenna, even if there's no, the tower itself, even if there's no antennas installed, obviously that tower that's there, Joe, is attracting those signals. You can see the logic of that, can't you?
Well, the power of the mind. Actually, you can convince yourself to be sick and wind up with physical problems.
Yeah, look out for that ergot. If you live in, what's the name of the town in Massachusetts that had the witch hunt? Salem. If you live in Salem, Massachusetts, and you've eaten bread that contains ergot, and you start getting visions, you're in a lot of trouble. You may die over that one.
Hey, you and I should talk about ergot molds. When I was a kid, I used to do something with it.
I got a vague idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I took the entire high school chemistry set, but it was fun.
Did you do it all by yourself, or did you get a couple of people to join you in the effort?
I pretty much synthesized it by myself, but a few other people helped gather the materials needed.
Did they share in the beneficial outcome of the project?
Well, actually, it could have made some people a lot of money, but it never did that. It was an interesting experiment, and it went on for a couple of years, actually. It was something that was never intentionally come in contact with, except one day I had an itch on my nose, and I reached for my nose, and that was a bad thing.
So you scratched your nose, and some of the substance got into your body, is that what you're saying?
Well, basically, yeah. I mean, come on, consider the fact that the average amount that you would use would be like 50 micrograms, not even grams, grains.
Wow, that's pretty potent stuff. What happens if somebody ODs on that substance?
Well, I never heard about that happening, but there are people that are pretty far out, let's put it that way. There was a whole bunch of it that went up to Woodstock.
How much difference is there between ergot, distillate, and LSD?
Quite a lot, actually. And if you ever want to see the chemistry behind it, I have a big book on it.
Can you convert from one to the other?
Say again?
With the right kind of chemistry, is it possible to convert one substance to the other substance?
Well, one substance is required to make the other substance. Except today, it's not required. It could be done. It could be synthesized completely, but it's one heck of a lot easier to start from one to make the other.
Sounds like some interesting chemistry. I've got to go. See you guys down the log. Keep the faith. KQRIW.
That was a long, 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 long time ago. KQRIW, have a good evening. KQJ.
Sounds like a lot of water under the bridge.
Why are you still there?
What was that last thing?
Eric Bernie, is Dick still around or did he leave?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Is Dick still around? This is Bernie, KQIO.
Hello, Bernie. You know
yes, I am, Bernie.
Why.
Go ahead. Dick, did you see the article? It was one of the IEEE journals. It was one of the ones I think everybody gets. The last month or the month before had a number of articles about a mission to Mars signed up. Did you see that?
How are you making it in? I have to put some headphones on because I can't exactly hear what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm having the same problem. Bernie, is there some way you can increase your power into the machine? You're 90% noise.
I'm negative. I'm going to have to go away. I'm in a hole in between behind the parking building, so I'm not going to be able to make it.
So, you know, I can turn the machine on for a minute.
Is on.
Oh, okay, but you're still noisy.
Understand, I'm not going to be able to make it. All time clear, guys. KQYO.
See, that last transmission was not half bad. Ask your question.
We'll try one more time. Yes, did you get the IEEE magazine the last month or the month before that had the article on a mission to Mars?
Dick, I think you're going to have to answer that because I don't get the magazine.
Okay, I heard him say the so-and-so magazine had an article on Mission to Mars. What magazine are you talking about, Bernie?
It was the IEEE monthly magazine.
IEEE. Are you talking about IEEE Spectrum? IEEE Spectrum, go ahead.
Affirmative. I believe it was the Spectrum. I get a couple of their periodicals, but I believe this was the Spectrum.
Give me a little hint. What was the picture? What did they say? I may have read the article, but I'm having trouble remembering it right now. Go ahead.
Actually, the issue had four or five articles. It was kind of a focus on Mission to Mars concept. They addressed a number of issues. I'll see if I still have mine. If I do, I'll send it out your way.
Okay, I thank you. And I've got the latest two issues of Spectrum sitting in the living room right alongside of the television chair. And I'll recheck. Maybe I missed it. Thank you. Bye-bye for now.
QYO clear.
Dick at QYO, you still there?
Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
Okay, I saw the repeaters up. I don't want to hold you too long, Dick, but I did want to do a quick follow-up on, you mentioned Gaussian curve. Don't take too long to explain that because I know you want to run, but those numbers that on the big wow, the first one was a 6, the last one was a 5. Am I to believe that it was a symmetrical curve?
Negative. It is a slightly non-symmetric curve because of the chunks of time, which I think are like 10 or 15 seconds apart, at which the amplitude samples were made. If you make yourself a linear chart with even degradations, and you plug in those numbers, you'll get a beautiful curve that when you complete it, there's obviously some missing information. on the edges. When you complete it, it is a beautiful Gaussian curve. Go ahead. I think it's a real signal.
Very interesting. You know, if I was in charge of something in the government, I would have put so much emphasis on trying to find out what it was. It's like nobody cares. All right, we'll see you later. It's K2RIW N2EO. It's fascinating.
Yeah, when you read about the closed-mindedness of Congress on this particular subject and their willingness to fund it, you read the past history of that, you'll become very unhappy. I've got to go. Bye-bye, you guys.
Yeah, it's 2EO. Have a good night. Hello, Eric. Hello, everybody else. I'm just going to listen. Eric, you got it.
Hi, Rich. Take it easy. Have a good night. Okay, good guy.
Good night, Eric. And whoever else is listening, have a good night. And to the Oak Cliff.
The time is 12:34 a.m. 73. And good night from the W2VL repeater.
I do law token F off.
Reflector 9126, link clear.
I do law token F off. I do law token F 10 enabled.
Time is 12:37 a.m. Monday, August 31, 2009.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the New England Reflector 912.
Channel 6.
time is 1:23 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. Tonight at 8:30, welcome to the W2VL repeater. tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.